Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
The president knows that he has not done a smart thing, and it might cost him the election. He did it because of money, and he thinks that there are more black people, there are more people who are Christians, there are more people that want marriage to be right than there are homosexuals, I assure you, in this country. And I think he's going to learn that lesson. I am ashamed that the first black president chose this road, a disgraceful road. So think about what you're doing by giving the president a pass in this arena, in this fight, by saying it's okay because we're black and you're black and we're going to stand with you. Mr. President, I'm not going to stand with you. And there are thousands of others across this country that are not going to stand with you with this foolishness.
And I'm one of them, damn it. I am one of them. I will not stand with you behind this foolishness.
I got to give it to Reverend Owen. He sounds like every old black pastor I've ever seen in my entire life. I know the press won't give him a lot of props in the Washington Post.
No, except that now he's talking against the black man.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, Teresa on the radio, 1 minute after the hour on blogtalkradio.com. We are back. It is Friday. I promise next week I'm going to bring back the Friday Night Dance Party. And I have a great idea. I've got songs lined up. I'm going to work the whole thing out. Wifey was off today, and I probably spent a lot more time dealing with her Twitter war today than I dealt with. We'll get into that later. Listen, check out Mary Mary Why You Buggin' on Twitter and follow her tweet war that happened today against some local DC DJ today. You have got to check this out. It was insanity. I give it to Mary. Mary is sort of a new conservative. Most knuckleheads would call her a neocon. But she's a new conservative. She has found her conservative way. I have shown her the light. I have brought her from the darkness. I have brought her from the darkness and moved her to the light. I have saved the slave. But my point is that she was having a very, very lively Twitter debate. So trust me, it is worth checking out Mary Mary Why You Buggin', and that's Y, the letter Y,
it's
the letter U.
It's M-A-R-Y, M-A-R-Y, space Y, space U, space.
Is that underscore?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it is.
I think it's underscore.
Wait, let me check.
Yeah, because you have to do it. It all has to be one word. So it's like Y underscore U underscore Buggin', B-U-G-G-I-N.
Hold
I'm
on
almost
right
certain
now,
it is. But look it up. Mary Mary Why You Buggin'. You will find it. You have got to check out the Twitter war that she had today with
no,
some
liberals. No underscore.
Is it? It's not an underscore?
No underscores. It's Mary Mary, no space.
Oh, yeah, okay. So it's Mary Mary, then space Y, space U, and Buggin', B-U-G-G-I-N. So look her up. Mary Mary, Why You Buggin'. Listen to the Twitter war she had with a couple of libs who literally set out the dogs on Mary today.
Basically called me a Klansman.
Call her a Klansman.
And a Sarah Palin.
And a Sarah Palin. Called her a Tea Partier.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. You've got to read it, and you've got to hear how libs react when someone contests anything it is that they say, and the conversation is about welfare and I guess the new cricket phone
promotion. Well, the
promotion.
Conversation was really about, the guy was promoting this discount or whatever you can get on a cricket phone if you're on public assistance.
Right.
And, you know, I tweeted back and said, wow, I can't believe you're promoting welfare. Why don't you promote jobs? Why don't you promote work instead?
Right.
Why don't you put up job listings instead of how you can get a damn Obama phone?
Yeah, pretty much. And that's right. And they didn't like it. All they could talk about was how she could do something for the community. They believe putting people on welfare is doing something for the community.
No, they told me to mind my business. And I replied with, it is my business because welfare and other federally funded programs, social programs. I'm paying for it. It's all of our business that have jobs and pay taxes.
They don't even get that. But check it out. Again, it's Mary Mary Y U, two letters, Y U Buggin, Buggin, on Twitter. Check it out. You have to read it yourself because, you know, it's amazing at the length they went to. You were into that maybe for about an hour or so?
Probably over that.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
And the tweets were coming so fast I couldn't even keep up.
Couldn't keep up.
I don't really tweet that much. I'm not – I just don't have time. But
I totally understand
off
that.
Today, and I just happened to look at that, and it sparked an interest and went on and on. And I will be – it will be to be continued because I told them that I was going to – search because they say that Cricket's not getting any kickback.
Oh, that's so
from
bogus.
offering this discount program if you are on, you know, on federal assistance, on state, you know, on state assistance. Mm-hmm. So I told them that I would investigate, and then we'll debate it again.
Well, also coming up today, it is Friday. I haven't done this in a while. I didn't think it went too well the last time. I'm sure it'll go great this time.
Yeah.
Five questions for Joe Soptic coming up later on in the show. That is our intro for five questions. I've got five great questions. If you don't understand how five questions work, it's very simple. Whatever the topic is, or a big topic of the week, I come up with five rhetorical questions for you to ask that individual or questions to ask to that particular topic. So today's five questions are five questions to Joe Soptic. Stick around for that. We're going to do it in the next half hour. Five questions. If you want to join in, if you've got a couple of questions to ask, the idea is to be humorous. They're rhetorical. I posted on Facebook to give people an opportunity to ask a question that they might think is funny. It's sort of like a humorous thing. If you want to check them out early, you can log on to Facebook and read them early, but I'm going to read them, of course, live on the air in the next half hour. A couple of things going on in news today. Again, as we know, it is Friday, so it is a slow news day. But it's been a busy news week, and there's plenty of stuff going on. A lot of you have heard that Sandra Fluck, Rush Limbaugh's slut, was in Colorado. Given a speech introducing Barack Obama. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what I said. I said Rush Limbaugh's slut. It's what I because that's all anybody can associate with her. Sandra Fluck. It doesn't even matter what congressional hearing or faux congressional hearing that she gave. She's always going to be associated with Rush Limbaugh calling her a slut. So she's Rush Limbaugh's slut. That's it. And you know it is. You know that's the deal.
They made him pay for it.
Exactly. They made him pay for it.
She might as well give him the title.
Exactly. So Sandra Fluck was in Colorado. She's come out of the woodworks again. And as she was there, she's given this speech talking about contraception, how she will never, ever support Mitt Romney, you know, because he doesn't care about women's issues. And, you know, it was scared of women. Ann Coulter had a great line. She said, you know, Obama appeals to divorced, single baby mamas who are stupid, pretty much. That's who it is that don't use contraception anyway.
Well,
anyway,
abortion.
Right. This was a guy by the name of Kayla Bonham of a website and political group called Revealing Politics. He was interviewing attendees at the Obama Flu campaign event and asked them about the female issues. They say here the results are shocking and hilarious. What an understatement. Because, again, I'm surprised that no one has brought up this key question about contraception and the government. And, you know, again, this is the reason why I love comedians, good comedians. Comedians are supposed to be clever, not just funny. You know, and I don't know who this guy is, and I'm going to check him out a little more. But Caleb Bonham of Revealing Politics, he asked a couple of questions to these women who were out there supporting Sandra Fluck.
No place in our bedrooms.
No.
Okay. So you're in support of contraception.
Yes.
Government-funded contraception. Why do you believe the government should pay for what goes on inside your bedroom?
That's a very good question. I'm not sure how to answer that question, but I think it's important to have, be available to have contraception.
I'm, like, all for abortion. I'm all for birth control. I'm, like, all for abortion. I'm all for birth control. Like,
so you don't think the government should be involved in what goes on inside the bedroom, correct?
Oh, exactly. Oh, not even close, no.
So then why do you expect the government to pay for what goes on inside the bedroom?
Because a lot of people don't have the privilege of being able to afford contraceptives. So if we have that more readily available, then we wouldn't have people out here starving. We wouldn't have...
So contraception solves hunger.
Well, I believe it has a big part in it. I mean, I really do.
Yeah.
If you can't afford a child, you
should... Well, also, if you're hungry, you can just eat contraception.
These are not feelings that male fellow students experience.
So if maybe the family is financially unable to support a baby, they should have an abortion?
I believe so, yeah.
I don't think
so. What did Sandra Fluke have to say?
She was actually quite funny. She said that through all of the difficult things that she went through with Rush Limbaugh, and Mitt Romney actually did not even speak out against him. She couldn't count on one of the presidential candidates to say he was out of line, which is really pretty incredible when you think about it, how he attacked her, and that President Obama was with her every step of the way.
So actually, recently, Harry Reid has come out and claimed that Mitt Romney may be a felon because he hasn't paid any taxes.
Right.
Yep, Obama hasn't come out and denounced those claims that are unsubstantiated. Do you think Obama should come out and denounce Harry Reid?
I think that's a very interesting question. We don't know if it's true or not true.
Aren't all the answers, that's a very interesting question? Yeah, bitch. It's interesting because you hadn't thought about it. Because
what's his name? The things that make you go,
It's an interesting question that you have no response to. That's an interesting question. Anytime a lib is caught in a very compelling argument, it's always an interesting question. Of course it's interesting, you moron, because you were just caught up on platitudes. You made this big argument about Sandra Fluke. Oh, you know, Mitt Romney didn't come out and condemn Rush Limbaugh for what he said about it. He said that that makes her a slut, that she wants so much contraception for what? To pay for how much sex she's having. She wants the government to pay for how much sex she's having. That makes her a slut, and that makes us the Johns. That makes us the pimps. We pay for her contraception.
And it may not be in an immediate sense right there. But when you think about the way the circle moves, okay, like you have a bicycle wheel. It has spokes on it. If one spoke is broken, it doesn't go. It doesn't go.
It doesn't work as well.
It doesn't turn right. So if you think about the whole spectrum and how it all works and how it all comes back from taxpayers' money to government to social, funding everything for everybody, we're all affected. Which means we're all responsible. So yes, we are your pimps.
But I thought the greatest part about that was the opening when he said, "Look, you don't believe the government should be in your bedroom," and then when he asked the question about what about government paying for contraception? It's the key question. You don't want government in your bedroom, but yet you want them in your bedroom when it comes to contraception. And again,
convenient for you.
Of course, that's the whole idea with this, which makes me laugh.
And the fact that these people,
off.
The fact that in one of the videos, the girl that says that she is for abortion, like he says,
"Oh, I'm all for abortion."
So do you think that if a mother gets pregnant or whatever and can't afford to, to feed the baby and take care of the baby, they should just have an abortion? And I think it was a mother and daughter, and the daughter was like, yes, and the mother was kind of like, well...
I don't know about that.
Yeah, she was like, oh, I don't know about that. And they kind of took, stopped the...
Of course, that's the whole thing. It's like...
But how sad is that?
What's sad that a young girl would say?
That the generation would say that. Why wouldn't your answer be, well, we should try to put things in place to keep those people from getting pregnant and try to, put things in place to try to enhance people's lives so that they don't have to go through that?
That's because liberals believe that babies are property. Now, follow me here. Understand where I'm coming from.
They do.
This is the newest form of slavery. babies can be disposed of. They are property. And no one should ever be able to tell you what you can do with property. That's what Roe v. Wade is about. It's about property. That what's in a woman's stomach is property. It's not a life. It's her property. You know, you notice they keep saying, you know, you can't tell anybody what to do with a woman's body. Because what's inside of a body is her property. It's the argument. And she can do as she pleases with her property. So therefore, this isn't a human life. This is a slave. That's all a child is to a liberal, is a slave. Until they decide to conceive or not conceive, and they can do what they choose with their property. It's the reason why Planned Parenthood has been spread throughout these neighborhoods, throughout the hood, because they believe that a child, especially in the black neighborhood, is worthless. And it is property. What? Of course they think it's worthless. The term is undesirable. If she can't afford it. Now, they can talk all day about preventative care. You know, give the kids condoms. Give the kids contraception.
But we're already doing that. That's why I don't understand. What, contraception is so readily available to every single person in this country at any given time. Why is this even an issue?
Because they want people to act. This is what progressives are about. Progressives are about breaking down the barriers of tradition, the boundaries of tradition, destroying those foundations. Anything traditional is taboo to progressives. One man, one woman being marriage, let's break that barrier down. Completely destroy it. Judeo-Christian values, going to church, following a semblance of religious doctrine, have to break down those barriers. In fact, the atheists have made a cottage industry into destroying Judeo-Christian values. There is no God. You cannot celebrate God. Take down the cross. We do not want to be forced into your religion. We are being bombarded. Those are the attacks. You know, integration, letting anybody who wants to come in, no matter what, open the borders. So therefore, United States is not a sovereign nation, because the United States' sovereignty isn't good enough, because now it should be an opportunity for everyone to succeed. So anything that is a cultural value in this country has to be broken down, and that is the society that we live in.
Of course it is.
And this is what makes the problem larger, and this is why it has to be combated. In a way, if you ask any one of those women where they got their views from, the only thing that they know is that that's commonplace for them. This is, it's a common ideology that they never thought of. It's the same thing with this generation of African Americans and a generation before them. You ask some of these black kids, I saw this in jail overwhelmingly. Why are you a Democrat? Why are you a liberal? And the answer is very simple. Everybody in my family is. Everybody, you know, my grandfather was, my mother was, my dad was, whoever it was, we just always were. And my question was always, well, wait a minute, was it ever based on something that you thought? Has your decision ever been based on who it is that you are, what it is you think, what your values are?
You've never broken away
and decided to think, no, we just always were. So in essence, you've been living your life like a zombie. Mommy says abortion should be legal. You believe abortion should be legal because mommy said so. No investigation, no investigation whatsoever, no thought process of your own.
You've been walking around mindlessly.
Mindlessly. And everybody in your neighborhood thinks the same thing that you think, and then you agree, so that's what it is. And then when you put someone against them, like this kid on Bonham, you put somebody against them and you ask them a legitimate question that is completely contrarian to what it is that they believed all of their lives. And they look at you and they go, oh, that's an interesting question. Did you ever just
question
say to yourself,
anything.
Question anything that you believed before? Or did you just walk around like an automaton? It scares the crap out of me sometimes. That some people are like that.
A lot of people are like that because they're too engaged and too selfish. They're too engaged in their own personal lives and all. They don't make time for anything else.
No, here's what I think it is. It's very, very simple. It is a mob mentality. Liberals literally work off a mob mentality. what it is that they feel comfortable with. This is common in so many areas. If all of your friends think alike, you want to think like them. It's just as simple as going to school and everyone has got the new Nikes. You got to have them too. Everybody believes in abortion. You got to believe in it too. I need to be accepted by these people because these are the people who are the smartest, the brightest, or the coolest, or the most accepted, and I want to be just like them. So it doesn't matter. My collective reasoning doesn't even take effect, and I just follow that meme, that norm. And it's considered your norm because you've been living in a freaking bubble all your entire life. It's a classic case of stupidity. Classic case of stupidity.
It's moronic.
Absolutely. The number is 347-308-8701. Sal in Boston. Okay, maybe not.
Hello.
Hello?
Hey, Reese, what's going on? Can you hear me? You're breaking up a little bit. I don't know if you can hear me, so if not, I'll call back. But, you know, this is a really – I'm a little bit put off by this. I listened to – you know, I thought I had a good angle on what I was going to say, and then you played that clip of the girl talking about people starving because the government's not funding contraception. You know, at the end of the day, is it just that there are people who have limited capacity – that have the same rights that we have? Is that really what this boils down to?
Yeah, I think, you know, the fact that this woman equated contraception with starving, in essence, it's such a, I want to go with communist Chairman Mao sort of philosophy. You know, we don't have enough people to feed, so we've got to kill off the kids.
We don't have enough food to feed people.
Yeah, exactly. We can't feed people, so we're going to kill off the babies. I mean, that's essentially what it is that she's saying. Hunger means kill people or kill babies.
You know, if people are this uninformed, how can you possibly reach them? You know, how do you possibly reach them with logic? How do you assuage them to have a different way of thinking when there's really – so much of this, their opinions are just based on ignorance.
But, Sal, you do exactly what this reporter did. And if you listen to the whole thing, they were stumped. And I bet you those people are going to hopefully start, at least one out of the three will start thinking about things before they just continue to be followers.
Look, if there's one thing that I know about embarrassment, embarrassment breeds thought and reflection. And I think that there are a lot of people there who heard that question and it's rambling in their mind going, I had a camera and a microphone in front of me and I answered that question poorly. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Like they looked at that and they're going, somebody is going to be viewing me answering that question and being completely stumped. And that causes reflection. Now, they'll probably choose to be angered by it. They may choose to be embarrassed and then cause them to be angered by it, but it will cause reflection. They've got to find a way to answer that question the next time that they're asked. Or if someone approaches them and say, you know, hey, I saw that video of you being asked about contraception and government being in your bedroom, and you didn't do so well. Like, what's the deal? Like, how do you feel about that? I thought it was a compelling question. Now they're forced to think. So, I mean, to your question, I think that now this really forces people to reflect and think about what's going on.
I certainly hope so, but, you know, when you look at the kind of the advertisements and the commercials that are being placed out there by the Democratic powers that be, mm-hmm. you've got commercials saying that Mitt Romney's a bully, Mitt Romney doesn't pay taxes, and so much of it's absolutely ridiculous, yet it plays. And then you get this advertisement of this guy, Joe Soptic?
Yes.
Where he's making these, you know, you've got identical videos, and I think you pointed out the same shirt. Okay.
Oh yeah.
People don't care. They're not paying attention, or if they are paying attention, at the end of the day, this feeds something else. This feeds something else in these people that it's irrelevant. The facts just don't matter at the end of the day because there's something about this candidate or this ideology that makes them feel good.
Not,
and
you know,
the candidate that you know makes them feel good about themselves. And you listen to the rhetoric that comes out, is really what plays, because I don't think people do think. There's a portion of people that think, but a great portion of people, they just don't think deeply enough about this. They don't take it seriously enough, or they just don't think deeply about anything. Some of the stuff that just occurred recently really makes me wonder, is this really about politics, or is this just about a sampling of our society in general?
Well, you know what? Considering the fact that we've had the dumbing down of America for the past 20 years, that's what we've had. I'm talking 1992 to where we are today. And the reason why I say 1992 is, and I'll even go so far back as what, like the gangster rap sort of era, and the, you know, Nirvana's, and the, you know, the grunge movement, all that other stuff, that things became a sort of a soundbite sort of society in that era. It was, you know, everything sort of became about a soundbite. What was the most popular soundbite? What was the most popular chorus? What was the most popular meme? What was the most popular, whatever it was, that things sort of worked down into soundbites. Things became simplistic for people because no one wanted to think anymore. They got sick and tired of thinking. That dumbing down is worked in today. But what I will say for this election, what I think is happening is, on the other side, when they're watching the Joe Soptics of the world get pushed out to the United States, when they're pushed out to the American society, when they see this happen, do you know what I see liberals doing, or people who support Barack Obama? I see them covering their ears going, la, 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 la. I see that. They want it out of they don't want to hear it. They know they're embarrassed, and they run and hide. A perfect example of this is, once it was found out that Joe Soptic lied, once it was found out that Stephanie Cutter lied, once it was found out that the Obama administration did know this guy and did know his story, everyone did the same thing I expected them to do, run and cower. Stephanie Cutter was supposed to be on This Week with George Stephanopoulos on Sunday. They pulled her. Robert Gates, former White House press secretary, nowhere to be found, hasn't done an interview anywhere. Bill Burton, nowhere to be found, hasn't done an interview anywhere. Who did they dole out? They put out David Axelrod, who was never a part of this in the first place. He's been the most separated from this ad, and they push him out to George Stephanopoulos on Sunday. And they're going to push out Debbie Wasserman Schultz. But anybody who was directly affected to this ad, the Joe Soptic thing, they have gone missing. And that's what the American people have done. Anyone who supports liberalism and the Obama administration, that's what they've done. They've run and hid, and they're silent. If you catch any one of these liberals out there and you ask them, the President of the United States may have broken federal election laws. How do you feel about the hope in change now? And they won't say a thing.
Right, but, you know, what worries me is you've got a candidate who, by all accounts, is solid. He's a businessman. He leads a fairly wholesome life as far as we know. Yet he doesn't have the kind of personality like a Chris Christie who would make hay out of this whole situation and get in front of a mic and really put it back on him in a way that the average person would understand. And so I think some of the reason that this isn't getting the outrage and isn't getting the play that it could is just Romney's character. Romney's not going there. That's not what he does. He's just going to stress the facts, for better or worse.
Right.
He's going to stress on his particular course of how he handles these questions. In this case, I'm starting to think that the way people react to news and is emotionally, especially that section of the public that you know, we'll take an ad like the Soptic ad, or just this outrage over contraception, government-funded contraception. What are we really talking about here? They don't sit there and break it down. You need somebody like a Christie who's going to get heated about it and break it down and throw it back at them in a way they can understand. But I don't see that happening here. And I'm hearing, you know, polls are polls. I mean, nobody polls me, so clearly they don't know what I think. But I keep hearing Obama's up 50% to 42%. Obama's up, you know, 49 to 4. How is this possible?
It's not. It's not. Listen to me. It's not possible. Do not. The whole product of polling is for one reason only, especially in the media scope we live in today, Sal, and that is if Republicans see those polls, they'll be discouraged about voting against Obama. That gives the impression, oh, man, we ain't going to win. Why bother? And the idea is to discourage getting rid of this president. That's the reason why I say I don't pay attention to these polls. This is not conventional. In fact, this is conventional wisdom. And from a guy who I love and respect, Rush Limbaugh, you know, I agree with him wholeheartedly. When conventional wisdom says go right, I go left. You know, I don't believe in conventional wisdom because for some odd reason it always turns out to be wrong. You know, people use that term common sense, but conventional wisdom, that's a different thing. What's going on with Mitt Romney and these polls and the bad press and all that stuff, all of that stuff is contrived. They don't want this guy to win. And the reason why, and just to go to your point about, you know, Chris Christie versus Mitt Romney, Mitt Romney has always been a modest guy. Mitt Romney has always been a guy who's sort of subdued and very – I'm somewhat introverted. It's not in his character to fight back. For Christ's sake, the guy got accused of murder in Essex. You know what I mean? And you'd expect a response that each and every one of us got for him. And I would say that to Mitt Romney, you know, and I'm pretty sure we all want to, it's like, you know, Mitt Romney, everybody is fighting, you know, everybody's fighting for you except you.
Exactly. You know what this reminds me of, and I don't believe you're from Boston. I know you spent some time in Boston.
No, I spent some time.
But, you know, back in the 70s, I believe it was the 70s, when they had this Dukakis election period, there was this character named Willie Horton who was a murderer or something. He was let out. They asked him a question about They asked Mike Dukakis about his wife. You know, we know you're not for the death penalty. What would you do if, you know, would you feel the same way if your wife, Kitty, was murdered? And his response was something like, well, you know, I just don't know how I feel. I have to look at it if in that situation. And was his undoing, is the way
he
responded to that question. You know, a lot of people go back to the tank video. But at the end of the day, that question to me, you know, how he handled the question had more to do with him just falling out of favor with people. They looked at him like a spineless.
Wait a minute. Dukakis was a pansy anyway, Sal. Isn't this the same guy who passed it was some sort of law that if someone broke into your house that you couldn't defend it, that you were supposed to leave?
Correct. I don't know if he was on the past it, but there is a law that actually says that. If you have the ability to exit your home, you know, you're not supposed to use lethal force. That law has since been overturned, I'm fairly certain.
It has. But, I mean, this guy, I mean, it literally, he signed in the law. It says that you are not to confront someone who invades your property, your home, and defend it. This guy was of course he couldn't ask the question, if your wife had been attacked by Willie Horton, what would you do? Of course, because that in and of itself, when it comes to your wife, I mean, God forbid if it had been your daughter, but your wife, for crying out loud, somebody attacks and rapes your wife and your response to it is I don't know what it is that I would do. I'm pretty sure his wife looked at him and said, you mother. You know what I mean? I mean, his wife said, he was looking at him going, you're getting none tonight.
Yeah, this is what enrages me, though. If I'm sitting here, and, you know, I was pretty so I have a Facebook page, and basically I've always, you know, for the past first couple years, I'm pretty apolitical. I feel this election is critical, so I've been a little more political. I've been throwing ideas out there. I've been making statements, just food for thought for the people that are on my list.
Right.
At this, I don't care if I'm offending you because of my beliefs, then, you know, get off my friend list. It's not a problem for me. We all have to take a stand. And what enrages me when I see this lack of response because the Republicans are so afraid to offend, I think it's the opposite effect by not fighting back. You know, Mitt Romney is proving this, you know, the whole, you know, I'm the upper-class white businessman that, golly gee willikers, you know. He has no, you know, back. He's proving it out. It, you know, people have this claim that he has no backbone. He's, you know, he's the typical white successful politician, you know, very polite, very proper, but no zest, no fire. Nobody wants that.
And yeah, so, not now. Not now.
But they're not. And they're not responding in that way. And so I do believe if they don't take a new tact, we will, in fact, lose the election. And I'm not so sure about the Senate and the House, but the presidency at least. I think, you know, I like to think that maybe people recognize what's going on, but I'm not so sure. And I think if they don't start fighting back, then, in fact, I do believe we'll see 4 more years.
Yeah, you're right. What were you going
to
say, Matt?
We shall see. So I just wanted to give you guys a call and throw that idea out there. So.
I appreciate it, Sal, as always, man. And thank you for what did you do? What do they call that? When you forward my link or whatever it is on Facebook?
Like relinked or...
Oh, you reshared or you shared.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, reposted.
You know, anytime you have one of these shows. Now, you know, the Jackson shows, it's interesting for me, but there's not a lot of, you know, it's not my area. I think they're all crazy anyway. So when you do stuff like this, it's current events and hard hitting. I like to throw it out there because I want people to hear it. What I love about your show is you're not really held back. You can say what you want in this kind of forum, and that's a great thing. You know, it's like Rush. He has to be afraid of what he says is going to get kicked off the air. You can voice your opinion in an intelligent way, not worry too much about how people. And I thought that was a really great show. You pointed out some great things. So anytime, happy to do so.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it, Sal, as always, man. And thank you for your support every day.
Anytime. Bye-bye.
Thanks. That's Sal in Boston. I'll always call in. What do you want to say? Because I know you had a comment before we go to break.
I mean, I see you guys' point that Romney needs to get out there and start, you know, rebutting to this, all this crap. But Obama's doing such a horrible job right now that it's almost like Romney saying, you don't even need any help because you're digging your own grave.
Right.
I mean, it's blatant. And if people can't see that, then those people should be incinerated because they are walking around like zombies. Let them go.
Yeah, you're probably right. I think I'm with Sal. I don't want to take the risk anymore.
Want to take the risk either. But if you have any type of brain, I mean, there are steps that are being taken, and I see people. The radio stations I listen to every day, WPTC, I hear them, and I hear even black people are saying, you know what, we ain't down for this. We don't want it. We make good money, and we ain't giving you our money.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you bugging. You know, you we had you. We had you even when you said the Latinos could stay and you was for gay marriage. We had your back, but now you want to take our money?
That's what I thought.
We got to let you go, boo.
All right, stick around. We'll be back when we return. 5 questions for Joe Salpin. All right, see you soon. All right.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message. 4 years ago, we made history. Now it's time to move forward and finish what we started together. We have to show the president we have his back.
We can't afford to spend the next 4 years going backwards. I'm running to make sure that by the end of the decade, more of our citizens hold a college degree than any other nation on earth. I refuse to pay for another millionaire's tax cut by kicking children off of Head Start programs, or asking students to pay more for college, or eliminating health insurance for millions of poor and elderly and disabled Americans on Medicaid.
Have the president's back and register to vote. Go to gottavote.org to register now. That's gottavote.org.
You know we've got your back.
Paid for by Obama for America.
Last time on Reese on the Radio.
Have you missed Reese on the Radio recently? Well, don't worry. You can always go to the archives of Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Anybody heard from LaToya on this one? Isn't she eerily absent?
She's the big mouth of the family.
She is the big mouth. She's dropping loose change on the family. She's not into dimes. She likes quarters, half dollars. But that I find extremely odd that she's not around. She's got to get her act together. Get in here. I mean, I can't believe I'm actually saying this. LaToya, please come out and get this family in order. You're the only one left to do it. In all of this mayhem, you're the only person that seems normal here. And you're an extreme whack job. You're an extreme whack job. But through all of this, you're the only normal person throughout this whole thing, with the exception of the kids. Maybe not Blanket so much. But all of them, you look like the normal one.
It's Reese on the Radio weeknights right here on blogtalkradio.com.
If I don't recognize your name, you're nobody. Look, I don't make this much beef about my broad getting into the house to cook me a meatloaf. But they're really excited about this guy going from one souffle to a big zucchini. I don't know what it is, but she can't stop yammering about this.
Was it Michael Simon?
That's him. That's the guy. That's the guy, Michael Simon. Never forget it. Okay, I'll always forget his name because he's a nobody. But anyway, Michael Simon, the bald-headed guy, right? That's him.
Right, right.
Okay, so yeah, he wears a lot of plaid.
Yeah, that's
so he's awesome. Dressed like the chef. Whatever.
He's an Iron Chef.
Yeah. Is he an Iron Chef?
Yeah, he is.
Is that significant?
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty big.
Is it a big deal in the foodie world?
Yeah, it is.
Really?
Yeah, it is. It's pretty big.
Seriously?
Yeah, it is.
They can lick my balsamic vinegar.
It's Reese on the Radio weeknights right here on blogtalkradio.com.
We will not take a dime from Washington lobbyists or special interest facts. They will not fund my party. They will not run our White House. We're going to change how Washington works.
This headline in today's New York Times sure seems at odds with that promise to put Washington on the side of the little guy, not the lobbyists.
A rather long list of names of people who are working on Obama's transition team or who have accepted jobs in his White House.
I'm in this race to tell the lobbyists in Washington that their days of setting the agenda are over. They will not work in my White House.
The administration has hired several lobbyists, the president of a lobbying firm that worked for General Motors and Fannie Mae.
Sally Sussman leads Pfizer's powerful lobbying shop, and she's organized events for the president, and she's also donated money for the president and bungled for him.
Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner appointed former top lobbyist for Goldman Sachs as his chief of staff, appointed to the number two position at the Defense Department, a former top lobbyist.
Hundreds of meetings between Obama administration officials and lobbyists, and no official record of who.
The number of fundraisers for the president have also benefited hugely from the energy loan program.
Isn't the president opening himself up to just a charge of hypocrisy on this?
Just a litany of people who have raised so much money who are clearly lobbyists.
President Obama hasn't even made a token effort to keep his campaign promises of more openness and transparency. It was all just another lie that was told in order to get elected.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese. I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
On the radio on this August 10th, 2012.
Somebody's birthday today, right? Anybody?
What day is it?
August 10th.
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, all right, whatever. If you were born today, happy birthday to you. And I have many more. So, of course, it's a segment that I haven't done in a while. So I'm bringing it back. I'm probably going to do it once every 2 weeks and probably then start shortening up to once a week. But I'm going to try to do it once every 2 weeks, and it's what we call
5 questions.
Five questions for Mr. Joe Soptic. As many of you know, Joe Soptic is the person who is creating a lot of controversy with the ad that was released by Priorities USA. And he was caught in several lies. Actually turned out to be very, very false. And, everything that he said turned out to be complete bullcrap. And he wasn't telling the truth. And he's just a flat-out liar. And his credibility is shot. And, what else can I say? But the bottom line is that he's caught.
And he's still got his wife's cancer hospital bills to pay off.
Exactly. So we've come up with 5 questions. For Joe Soptic. Question number 1. I understand that you worked as a custodian. How much disinfectant will it take to wash away your filthy lies? That's just one. Okay, fine. Question number 2. Is the reason you didn't accept a buyout from your job because the only payment that you'd accept is an acting job in a political ad for nothing? I think that's a better one. I think that was a better one.
That was a lie.
That was a lie.
Question number 2. Question number 3, I'm sorry. If Romney is responsible for your wife's death, is Obama responsible for the death of your credibility?
Basically.
Question number 4. You appear in 2 different ads with the same shirt on. Does this mean your wife does your laundry?
Or your wife did your laundry. That was the best one.
Yeah, that was the best. Anyway, question number 5. Now that you've dragged your wife from the grave, will she be registered to vote for Obama? And that is 5 questions, which I thought was absolutely...
Virginia's taking dead registered voters.
They understand the point. I've got to find a better way to do this. I've got to get JC to work the damn controls on this whole thing. Where are you, JC? Are you there?
He's probably avoiding a tornado right now.
No, I'm right here.
Okay. Where you been?
I'm right here.
Okay. I need some contribution here for my top 5.
He's been in the bathroom.
I gave you a clap a couple times, but you kept going over it.
Oh, you put the clapping in there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, then you've got to take care. Okay, then next time you take care of it. Instead of me doing it on my own. I've got to read, I've got to push buttons. I'm doing everything.
You've got to read, look to the right, look to the left, scroll up and down. Yeah, too much work for you.
Yeah, it's too much work.
Multitasking.
All right, nonetheless, that's 5 questions.
I got you.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm not a big Papa John's fan. I
like Papa John's.
Do you? Mm-hmm. Really? Really? What was that?
That's some of the nastiest pizza on the planet.
Really? You're not a fan? Okay, I've never had Papa John's pizza. I've had their buffalo wings. I've never had Papa John's pizza. Do you like it, Mary?
It's okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, like I said, I have no opinion.
They have a really good buffalo chicken. That's good. You wouldn't think that barbecue sauce, chicken, and bacon would be good, and cheese. But
oh, everything's good with bacon, baby.
Except for Sunday. Sorry, Burger King.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, Burger King. There we draw the line. So Papa John's, apparently the head of Papa John's Pizza, whose name is John Schnatter, or Schnatter, I should say, pronounce his name correctly, held a conference call with shareholders and all that other stuff. And, of course, these things, you know, they are viewed or listened to by the press. So he pretty much came flat out and said, look, here's the deal. Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act is going to cost our company money. And as people know, Papa John's franchise has been a very good franchise. There's been no scandal with this company whatsoever. You know, they've done great
and
work.
And they've grown pretty
good. They've grown
quickly.
Great. They're the third largest franchise behind Pizza Hut and Domino's. I think their quarterly earnings back in 2010 were some $2 billion. Their yearly earnings, I apologize, was like $2 billion. They're a $2 billion company, which is huge in this whole thing. I think they garnered the sponsorship of the NFL, for crying out loud, just last year, if not the year before. They've done the NBA. So they've really, really come up as a business, one of the smaller businesses and smaller franchises. So they do this conference call talking about the Affordable Care Act, affectionately known as Obamacare, and Schnatter comes out and says that Obamacare is going to cost him money, so he's got to find a way to make up for this money that he's going to lose. Now, he doesn't hold a conference call where he tells his shareholders, we're going to have to fire people, which in and of itself would have destroyed his company, that people were going to have to get fired from the Papa John's pizza joint. So he says that he has to pass on a 14 to 19 cent bump up in price to the customer, okay, that it's going to cost him. So what do they do in the press? They do this.
It's the latest in a string of powerful businesses whose political views have gone public and created some backlash in the process. The CEO of Papa John's pizza chain now saying he's going to have to raise the price of his pizzas because of President Obama's health care law. Lisa Sylvester is here in the Situation Room working the story for us. Give us the details, Lisa.
Well, there used to be a time when company leaders could say things, even controversial things, and it would fly under the radar. But that's no longer the case, largely because of social media and bloggers. The latest CEO's political comments making headlines, the CEO of Papa John's. Schnatter may not have realized his comments would be picked up by the political blogs. But what corporate bosses say, even to a small audience, can quickly go viral. That's what happened to the executive Dan Cathy of Chick-fil-A after comments to a Baptist publication that he supports the biblical definition of the family unit.
CEOs can no longer act stealthily in their participation in politics. Folks are going to know where they stand, but if they take strong views on hot-button issues like abortion, gay rights, things of that nature, it becomes problematic.
So, Tom, if we don't know that, how can we judge if the statement is actually true or false?
Because, Wolf, you're going to hear me say something I almost never say. In this case, the math does not matter. That's why. But our bottom line is this. This estimate that Papa John's threw out there came out of the oven a little bit too soon. It's not fully cooked. And since Papa won't deliver the documents to support the claim, we're going to have to say that this claim is false.
So you hear the backlash. This is, they won't support the documents, so it's false. Not that it's unsubstantiated, it's flat out false because they won't receive the documents. That's the last piece. That was a sort of montage of certain pieces that CNN did about Papa John's. Well, here's the bottom line. If you heard, these were the words that were used: controversial, stealth, hot button, taking a stance against abortion and gay rights. These things are against the norm. These things are controversial. And again, in essence, it's saying now you can't go against those things stealthily.
Yeah, you have to handle it with baby
No. Handling it stealthily is, in other words, you can't do it under the quietness. You can't do it underground. You can't say you oppose a gay marriage out loud because you're forced to do it in a stealth-like manner. And if you do it out loud, you're going to be criticized for it. You're going to be ripped apart for it, which is, in essence, all they did was they take his views and they say he's not allowed to say anything. Listen to some of the words that they use. This is CNN.
It's the latest in a string of powerful businesses whose political views have gone public and created some backlash in the process. This
backlash. He says that he's going to raise the price of his pizza because of Obamacare. Backlash.
Cost the customer.
CEO of Papa John's pizza chain now saying he's going to have to raise the price of his pizzas because of President Obama's health care law. Lisa Sylvester is here in the Situation Room working the story for us. Give us the details, Lisa.
Well, there used to be a time when company leaders could say things, even controversial things, and it would fly under the radar. But that's no longer...
Even controversial things, and it would fly under the radar. Already, the fact that the Affordable Care Act is going to cost this company millions of dollars is immediately controversial things.
For the case... Largely because of social media and bloggers. The latest CEO's political comments making headlines, the CEO of Papa John's. Schnatter may not have realized his comments would be picked up by the political blogs. But what corporate bosses say, even to a small audience, can quickly go viral. That's what happened to the executive Dan Cathy of Chick-fil-A after comments to a Baptist publication that he supports the biblical definition of the family unit.
CEOs can no longer act stealthily.
Can no longer act stealthily, right?
In their participation in politics. Folks are going to know where they stand. But if they take strong views on hot-button issues like abortion, gay rights, things of that nature, it becomes problematic.
So, Tom,
problematic.
Yep.
You hear these words that they're using.
If we don't know that, how can we judge if the statement is actually true or false?
Because, Wolf, you're going to hear me say something I almost never say. In this case, the math does not matter. That's why. But our bottom line is this. This estimate that Papa John's threw out there came out of the oven a little bit too soon. It's not fully cooked. And since Papa won't deliver the documents to support the claim, we're going to have to say that this claim is false.
Yes, he knows the numbers. In his own company, but because you didn't get them, they're false.
Exactly.
In that case, I guess you're right.
He owes you.
You're bubbling.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I guess because he didn't offer up the documents, I guess that there's nothing that he could have possibly said to you that would make them true. So that's all over. That's a wrap. Would you get in there? You got me?
Yeah, I got you. Well, you get a chance, let me jump in.
Okay, no, you can jump in now. Go ahead.
Yeah, that is such a load of bull crap. First off, how are they going to lump him in with the CEO of Chick-fil-A? Once they lump him in, you already got half of all liberal media, not even just liberal media, but people in general on his case as though he's
expressing
views on traditional marriage.
But
okay, but wait a minute.
Let me finish. Because that has nothing to do with pizza. This man just basically said he's going to have to up his pizza, 14 cents?
To the customer. 14
yeah,
and 19
to
cents
customer,
to the customer.
He's already given you a pizza with every damn thing on it for $7.99. If you go to Vito Gambini's down the street, which is owned by Hapu and Habib, with Pedro and Jose working in the kitchen,
right,
making the pizzas, you're going to pay $23 for a pizza with everything on it.
Absolutely right.
Okay,
those guys giving you a damn pizza for $7.98.
But again, this is what this is about, JC, is a corporate entity criticizing Obama and one of his policies, and they're going to rip him apart for it.
And the thing is, for them to have linked this to the whole Chick-fil-A thing, didn't that backfire in liberal media's face?
Absolutely, but they don't care.
I mean, how stupid can you be?
You think that they
more people will support, more people will pay that 14 to 19 cents in addition to support Papa John's
Actually, it was a great strategy on his part, because even if it's a great marketing tool.
Of course it is. The bottom line is that they're going to say, listen, if you
he shouldn't have stealthily said that.
No. He was doing it in a conference call with shareholders, and that's where he's supposed to make that statement. Those people were there, and they sat and they ran with it. He wasn't doing it stealthily. He wasn't doing it in the cover of darkness. He did it in a conference call that everyone else was invited to be a part of. The press can call in on those conference calls. What they do in the business magazines, they tell you, Papa John's is having a conference call at this, such and such and such. If you'd like to do, they send out a press release. If you'd like to be a part of that, please call into this number, and the conference call will be here.
Yeah.
And they do that. So they don't do it under the stealth as the way that CNN portrayed it, that it was done stealthily. That's bull crap. It wasn't done that way.
You know what? He could have gone the other route and said, I'm going to have to fire people. He said, you know, he's not going to do that. Why fire people when you could just raise it 14 cents?
You're exactly right. They didn't do that. We got to go to the top of the hour. We'll be back. Let's talk about this some more when we get back.
It's not like cigarette tax, and for Christ's sake, you didn't see, you know, there's still plenty of people smoking cigarettes paying $2, $3 tax.
And nobody got
caught. You should see our taxes in Connecticut for cigarettes.
We'll be back.
Not absolute. No amendment is absolute. You can't scream fire falsely in a crowded theater. We have libel laws. We have anti-pornography laws. All of those are limits on the First Amendment. Well, what could be more important than the wellspring of our democracy? And certain limits on First Amendments that, if left unfettered, destroy the equality in our democracy, of course would be allowed by the Constitution. And the new theorists on the Supreme Court who don't believe that, I'm not sure where their motivation comes from, but they're just so wrong. They're just so wrong.
Welcome back to Reese on the Radio. 2 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com, August the 10th, 2012. It's a pleasure to be here, of course, with my co-host and better half, Mary Mary. Why are you bugging?
Oh, a happy three-week anniversary.
Stop it. Isn't it a month?
Wait, is it?
It's officially a month.
Oh, my God. It is a month.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I said, yep. Couldn't we just wait
July
for
10th, August 10th. Okay, yes. My bad. A month.
Thank you for, can we move on now? Anyway.
I love you, too.
3 minutes. Not the sentimental guy. Not going to happen. Anyway.
Not tonight.
Yeah, not. Oh, shut up. Do you have to do that?
Yes, I do.
Oh, we're not going to turn this to a McMillan and White sort of thing. Okay? Look at Jason. He's having a blast with it. This is what you're going to turn this into.
No one is turning it into that.
Okay, all right. Just making sure. Anyway, we're.
You say wifey. I mean, you.
I don't do that.
Yes, you do. You said it in the beginning of the show. You said wifey was off today.
I did that, and, you know, it's...
And you do it because it's sentimental. You know that I like it. You know it makes me feel good. And that's why you do it. So get over yourself. You can be a stickler when it comes to politics and all that, but admit it.
You know, you
You're
amaze...
not a stickler when it comes to...
You me. Amaze me sometimes how you can find a way to completely embarrass the hell out of me. Seriously. That's what I want to do. Fire a gun right into the temple.
Oh, well, you don't want to be bad.
Anyway, okay. So we were talking about Papa John's Pizza at the end of the hour, last break. this whole idea that Papa John's, you know, for, by the way, 14% to 19%, not a bad deal. You know, the fact that he has to do it, you know, he's got to do it. But I think that people need to start looking at this Obamacare thing in the most basic things that we do every day. Pizza makes a strong argument for how this will affect your daily lives. Because businesses have are being affected like this, so this will eventually affect you in some sort of way. It always trickles down to the customer. And I think that was the point that was being made by Papa John's Pizza. And if they're going to be affected financially, it's going to affect the customer financially. They could have went out and gone and made a public statement and said, hey, America, don't want your pizza prices to rise? Go against Obamacare.
They
vote never
for Romney.
Yeah, vote for Romney. Never said that. It's the fact that, first of all, they are Romney supporters. John Schnatter is an Obama supporter. That's the reason why they're going against him. That's the reason why they're ripping him apart.
Well, of course.
But trying to say that this was done stealthily, if you go to companies like Investment Week Daily, something like that. I don't know what it's called. But it's an investment website. You can log on. Of course, you can find it. You go to any one of the business magazines. These companies put out press releases and say that they're going to have a press conference that you could be a part of. Radio companies do it. In fact, I've participated in Clear Channel Communications when they've had press they've had conference calls. They call you up and they say, look, we want all of our CHRs, which is, you know, with your adult contemporary sort of radio host, join into this thing, and we want to talk about ways that we can improve, you know, the brand, way that we can do things better and get a larger audience. You know, what are some of the features that you're doing? What are some of the benchmarks you're doing? And these things are told to the public so that they could,
to
the press, so that they can then listen to those things, and if they hear something outrageous or a new idea, they can print them on it and give them publicity. So it wasn't like Papa John's had this thing secretively. How the hell would anybody have known?
Exactly.
So they knew about it, but then trying to give this, you know, this idea,
impression that
it was leaked is bogus. So that's the part that that makes me laugh. But you know what? You know, what are you going to do? The hell with it. Romney has responded, or at least his campaign has responded to the Joe Sopcich ad. I don't know if you've heard it, but I think it's a little hard-hitting. I don't know. Mary, you've heard it, right?
I did hear it, and I loved it.
You did love it? Okay,
yeah.
Well, let's play it.
What does it say about a president's character when his campaign tries to use the tragedy of a woman's death for political gain? What does it say about a president's character when he had his campaign raise money for the ad, then stood by as his top aides were caught lying about it? Doesn't America deserve better than a president who will say or do anything to stay in power?
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Which I think in and of itself, lying. Just a flat-out lie. So I happen to appreciate that ad. I thought that ad was perfect. But guess what? Priorities USA is not backing down. They've released
another
steelworker ad. Now, hold on. Now, listen. After all of that hubbalaloo about Joe Sopcich, this is the ad they released now. They've released now. I think it is clear to say that the wind has been taken out of Priority USA's sails. This is the ad they're releasing now.
That plant was my life. I mean, it was my livelihood. It fed me as a kid and fed my whole family as an adult. So I depended on that plant. And I felt like it depended on me. Romney and Bain, they were businessmen. They had no idea how to make steel. They knew how to make money. They used us just like we were the scrap steel that we melted, you know. We were just a means to an end.
Priorities USA Action is responsible for the content of this advertising.
How vague is that?
And what is that they used? They used us. They're just businessmen. Without those businessmen, your family wouldn't have eaten since you were, your daddy wouldn't have worked there because you made an impression that your daddy worked there. because that's how you were raised when you were a child. Then you made the impression that you worked there through all of your adulthood. So, I mean, things happen, my man. Businesses take a turn sometimes.
Hello? What did he think the steel mill was that he worked in? What did he think the steel mill was? Wasn't it a business?
It was a business. And so what that they didn't know? They didn't know how to do the job that you were doing. So what? I've worked for CEOs of companies that don't even know how to use a damn fax machine.
Wait. Hold on.
But that's the way it is.
But why did Bain Capital come to GST? Why did they come? Why did they show up there? Because the business was failing. So Bain comes in and stretches it out as far as it could possibly go. It squeezed every bit of the toothpaste out of this degenerate freaking company. And because the company as it was, when it was just GST, was doing poorly. So they're sitting up there talking about this, came in and sucked it dry. Why was it taken over by Bain? Well, because you were doing such a successful job there? Because they were making so much money? No company comes in and buys GS Steel because they're doing great. Bain doesn't come in and buy a company because you're so damn successful.
And a company doesn't sell itself.
Oh, yeah. Well, remember, they just said they milked it dry. Well, what was it before Bain Capital got there? What were the numbers? How much money was it making? How successful was the company as a brand in general? How successful was it? What caused Bain to come in and take it over? There's no reason for a takeover unless there's something wrong with the numbers. And what was the problem at Bain? What was the problem at GSD? Let's talk about it. Was it the pensions? Was it another union worker, another group of union workers fleecing the crap out of the company, causing it to fail? Somebody tell me. Somebody hook me up with an answer. What caused Bain Capital to show up in the first place? Because you guys were doing so goddamn well. No one has said anything. Not one person has said a word about it, which makes me laugh. It makes me laugh because no one's been able to even come forward and say how well they were doing beforehand. Not one person has come forward and said that this company was doing great, that this company was relevant. Not one person says that. All they're doing is talking about Bain. I want to hear and I want the numbers on how it – because that's – if I were to be in Romney's campaign, I would say, look, let's release an ad. One ad, and all the companies that we took over that we ended up milking dry because there was nothing else there, that we had to get rid of these losers that were completely stinking up the place. Let's talk about their numbers that were before we got there. Let's go out there and show these people what these companies were doing beforehand. Let's talk about how Joe Sopcich as a union member was getting money for nothing and his check for free. Huh? Let's talk about that. Let's talk about Joe Sopcich and his union thugs who were ripping that place off. Huh? Come on. Money for nothing and their checks for free. Bums. A bunch of frickin' bums. That's all they were doing. They were ripping that place off. Goddamn union workers. That's the reason why that place was going under. You're producing more paychecks than steel. And Bain came in and said, you know what? You people are bums. We're going to turn this place upside down and kick you bums out. And we're going to make a fortune. We'll show you how to fleece a company. No, I'm just kidding. You get my point.
I mean, it is what it is. How can you blame someone, one individual? How can you blame one individual for the failure of an entire company?
That's how they get down, huh?
And the death of someone. one individual.
That's what
because
are.
That one individual made every single decision for that company, and that one individual was there 24 hours, 7 days. Come on. People steal money from companies all the time. They embezzle money.
Wait, now you're
what are you talking about? Shut up. Now you don't know. Type it down and allow me to finish.
Sorry.
Thanks. People embezzle money all the time. Maybe somebody's definitely. Maybe that's why you come to me, but I'm not saying Rodney did that. I'm saying maybe people we fail all the time.
Okay.
It could have been anything. It wasn't just left up to one person. You cannot blame it.
Well, your feed didn't out, though.
Oh, that. Is that better?
Yep, a lot better.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was going into a break. Mary wouldn't stop. Oh, I'm finished. Sorry. You finished.
No. Go right on ahead into the break. Yeah. It's 9:15. We'll be back. Friday, August.
On the radio, and you'd be stunned at some of the people who call up to spend some time with Reese on the radio. He is the godfather of entertainment, Mr. Michael Lohan. Mr. Lohan!
Reese, I have to stop laughing before we continue. I don't know how to respond to this. Am I in the Twilight Zone?
you are in the Twilight Zone. On the phone with us right now on Reese on the Radio is the connoisseur of the Hollywood biz, the father of the famed actress Lindsay Lohan. Mr. Michael Lohan is on the show on Reese on the Radio. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
No, thanks for having me, Reese. It's going to be a lot of fun, I can tell already.
Oh, man, you have no idea how much fun we are going to have today. It's Reese on the Radio weeknights right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mary, Mary, why you bugging?
James, you're on the air.
Yep.
Before you say anything, you are just going to come clean right now, okay? I'd like to know the adult beverage you're enjoying.
Beverage? Yeah, I'm drinking beer.
What kind of beer are you drinking, James? Is it a 211?
Oh, yes.
You're drinking a 211?
Yes.
You're drinking 211 None. Steel Reserve.
Right now.
The reason why it's called Steel Reserve, and it's called 211 for that matter, is that the police code, 211, means robbery in progress.
And don't let me tell you what that 211 has stolen from you tonight, my man.
It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the 5 states where Obama is attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President...
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
But our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward. And the state of our union is strong.
3 years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours, a great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on ReSun Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com. What is a boy to do?
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, I love it, I-L-O-V-E.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
August 10th, 2012. Nice try with the close out. The little station ID thing that you did. Nice try.
What station? What?
Never mind. It's okay. Negative. Sorry. My apologies. Anyway, we're back. I've got a question. Would you change your political affiliation if your daughter got dissed? I'll ask again. Would you change your political affiliation if your daughter got dissed by a public official, a politician? Would you do it? Well, I believe that one man has. And
well, didn't he say he
well,
did?
He said he did. One man has done.
We don't believe he has. We
we're
know.
Not. Yeah, we. I guess so. But one man says he has because his poor daughter got dissed. And I don't know. I'll be the first one to say, look, you can't let one incident change your views. But I don't know. Well, let's find out whether or not it has some merit. This is a story.
He was probably on the fence already.
This is
just was the straw.
Probably, yeah.
This is the straw that broke the
camel's back. It's a strong possibility. apparently this happened in Colorado during the president's visit there, and this is the story as it happened.
Ticket in hand, but not allowed inside. That's a story for some people who showed up too late to see the president speak last night in Grand Junction.
He took the stage an hour early and was finished before he was even supposed to begin. And now it's KJCT News 8's Janelle Erickson reports one local girl and her father are more than disappointed.
He is an African-American, and he's the first one we had in all lifetime.
An 8-year-old's dreams were crushed when she wasn't let in to see President Obama speak at Grand Junction High School.
When they said that no one could go in, I was so frustrated.
Alana has Asperger's, and she doesn't do well in the heat, so her dad waited until 4 to show up to the event because his ticket said the president would speak at 5:30.
Great historic event to take my daughter to, and she'll remember it her whole life, and it instilled a sense of patriotism. And then we got there, and they said, nope, sorry, you know, no explanation, just you can't go in. And she spent the rest of the day yesterday. I really wish I could have seen the president talk.
Because I really was wanting to see the president, and I couldn't.
But the part that rubs this father and daughter the wrong way is that after they were told they wouldn't be allowed inside, a man was let in.
That a prominent Democrat would get let into the event after we were told, nope, the Secret Service said nobody else is allowed in. It's a security risk. But there was obviously somebody that wasn't a security risk.
And Wenger says Obama's people are contradicting what his campaign is all about.
A lot of his campaigning is about how people shouldn't be treated special because of who they know or how much money they have. And we saw it in action yesterday that somebody did get treated special.
Worst of all is that people were never told the doors would close once the president arrived, and they had no idea Obama would show up and take the stage an hour early.
Now, this memory that my daughter would have had of seeing the president speaking, she will always remember. That's the time I didn't get to.
In Grand Junction, Janelle Erickson, KJCT News 8.
And Wenger says he is considering changing his political affiliation now. He says he'll still vote in November, but he is weighing all of his options.
How quickly we turn.
I'm not a big fan of this guy having this experience with, I mean, I understand, I get it, dude. It's your daughter. You probably love her to death. She's important to you. The president of the United States let her down. He might even be her hero. And he turned out to be, snob.
Wait. You're going to a little. You want
no,
to
no, no. We don't know.
No, stop it. Okay, listen. First of all, the kid has Asperger's, okay? Doubt that Barack Obama's her hero. It's just that it's the first, she said it herself, it's the first, history. He made history.
She wanted to be a part of history.
And what was that history? The history was he was black. He's black. He's black. He's black. He's black.
Okay,
he's black.
I heard
he's
that
black.
As well. I heard
no.
that as well.
Okay, that was the issue. Okay.
She's
come
eight.
On. She's 8. She's not even anywhere
obviously,
near where
they,
she can
her
say
father
that
has
this
been.
Is, this man is like Mary. The best thing since sliced bread. Let's not take it too far. You're going
Mary,
way out of context
Mary,
here.
Mary. His father has been, her father has been pumping her full of that rhetoric forever. First black president, first one of our time. That's what she said. She's repeating her father's talking points.
He's different. We're different. You're different. You have Asperger's.
No. I'm with you because, again, he said that he was, that he contradicted himself, but he says that we're all, there's nobody special. We're all
the same. Yeah.
But if he's telling his daughter, he's the first black president. Can't stop pointing out he's different. Yeah, I get that. I mean, he contradicts himself. That was a very, very obvious point there. What I'm saying in this case, and I'm agreeing here. Look, this guy is at fault. The father here, or Wagner, whatever his name is. He's at fault here. He trumped up this whole ideology about Barack Obama. He based it on very simple things. Barack Obama says we're all equal, but of course I can't stop talking about him because he's Negro. This guy is obviously fickle. Now he's telling people he's going to switch his political affiliation because he's so offended and Barack Obama's not going to get his vote. He's won away his options because he's got to let the world know that, I'm excited. I'm just too upset because my daughter couldn't get in to see you and that, everything
instead of weighing his options because he could weigh his options.
Right, because of policy or
because
whatever it was.
You should weigh your options. You shouldn't just lean one way
Absolutely.
Or the other without investigating and all that.
100%.
So I understand where you're going with it, but...
JC, do you want to add?
They should strip this guy's right to vote.
What?
Yeah, they said they should strip this guy's right to vote.
No, they shouldn't. Come on.
Yes, they should. Listen, all you have to tell his daughter, dude, you had a spell when the president spoke and you missed it. She wouldn't know the difference.
Oh, right. You had
no,
a spell.
She might know the difference. Oh, no. And they don't have spells. I mean, well, I guess they do. They have episodes, but, you know, Asperger's is more or less like...
I'm not really familiar with
autism. It's a form of autism. It's a form of autism. You cannot really express emotion very well.
Okay.
Like you don't. You can be happy, but I can be happy if I have it, but you don't know I'm happy because I can't physically express that.
Right.
You end up in places that don't know how you got there.
Yeah.
End up in places you don't know how you got there.
No, research that because
I had a friend with Asperger's. He would end up on a Connecticut's cure line, and no clue how he got there.
I don't know if maybe there's different levels of Asperger's disease, but I did some research and I've never seen that because I watched a show, a TV series, and the kid has Asperger's. It's the show with the coach guy, he's the main father, and he cheated on his wife, and they've got... What was that movie that you watched?
It's not Friday Night Lights?
No, what was the movie that you watched that you said...
Parenthood.
Yeah, is that it? With the, you know, he's got the son, the gambling son.
Right, Parenthood.
Yeah, with the little half and black, half
yeah,
white
black
and black kid.
Yeah.
That show...
Parenthood.
The sister.
That's right. The son has Asperger's.
The,
right.
One of the kids is married, and they have a kid together. And they have a son together, and that son has Asperger's disease,
right.
And that's what prompted me into researching it.
Okay, I'm sorry. This is going to sound very infantile, but you know that keeps running through my mind every time you mention this disease.
What?
How can I turn the word Asperger into a joke?
I don't even know if it's Asperger's disease or if it's Asperger's disease. I think it's Asperger's disease.
I can't stop saying Asperger in my head.
Me either.
I'm sorry. I apologize. That's the only thing that keeps running through my skull is Asperger. It's my
okay.
What's
that?
It ain't like the buns aren't there.
And what I'm surprised at is that the kid that does have the Asperger's or Asperger's disease was so calm in speaking about what happened.
She didn't look upset.
Because most kids that you get them that excited, they're that enthralled to see someone like, you know, they're...
Like a Rain Man or something? Like, you know, screaming at the airport
like
kind of
just,
deal?
She should have really just, like, flipped out. So there may be different levels and maybe she flipped out at that point. But I guess they would have reported on that, too. But you should have an episode when you don't get what you want and what you have been looking forward to for an X amount of time. You flip out.
Right. Hmm. Okay. I totally understand where it is that you're coming from. Okay, JC, when we get back, okay, one more time, okay, I'm going to cue you in. What I want you to do is I want you to go to the sound effects, right? I want you to go to the sound effects, and I want you to play the sound effects for, I'm going to find the sound effect for you so you can play it correctly. Hold on.
Can you have some confidence in the poor guy?
I'm going to find the darn thing.
I love you, bro. I love you.
I'm just trying to find which sound
effect.
And I got to find a great sound effect for this. Maybe I should get a ding or something like that or, you know.
Why don't you let him find one? Why don't you tell him what it is you're looking for and let him find it?
Well, find me a good sound effect for every one of the... quote-unquote five questions, so that I can get it right, So I'm trying to find a perfect sound effect that works. And I can't find one. I'm looking at this.
Well, let's go to break and let's
okay, here we go. Here we go. Play this one.
Ha ha!
There you go. All right? Okay, for each and every one.
Yeah, okay, play the South Park sound bit.
No, that's actually Nelson says ha ha is the sound
effect. From
it's
where?
Nelson. That's from.
Ha ha!
That's from The Simpsons.
That's from Simpsons. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, okay.
So play that one. When we come back, that's what I want you to play. We're going to do five questions one more time. I'm trying to get a sound bite out of this. That's the reason why I'm doing it. Stick around. We'll be right back. We've got some celebrity news. I've got to rip these people apart when we get back.
Celebrity news?
Yeah, some celebrity news that has to do with politics. Spike Lee is, of course, in the news again. I got to get into him. And
the people that posted it.
Yeah, of course, those people who posted it. That's one of the things I have to get into. And there was one more that is very important. And it's not... Oh! Usain Bolt. Whatever his name is. Usain, whatever his name is. I'm going to get into his ass today, too. Jamaican blood clot. I'm going to get into his ass.
The Jamaican blood clot,
We're
going to
get up in him when we get back. Stick around. It's Reset on Radio. When we get back, five questions. Spike Lee and Usain Bolt when we return on Reset on Radio.
Bop.
Gave him the Nobel Peace Prize without him doing anything, and he took it. He changed healthcare for millions of Americans, even though they like what they have. He says he will tell Iran to quit making nukes and they will stop, because he is just that good. To him, the Supreme Court is nothing but an unelected group of people. You want president? He is the president. He picked Joe Biden to be his vice president just to show that he doesn't really need one. He wants us to believe no one else in America would have made the Bin Laden call. He is the most arrogant man in the world. I ultimately get what I want. Stay ignorant, my friends.
On the radio, and you'd be stunned at some of the people who call up to spend some time with Reese on the Radio. He is the godfather of entertainment, Mr. Michael Lohan. Mr. Lohan!
Reese, I have to stop laughing before we get in. I don't know how to respond to this. Am I in the Twilight Zone?
you are in the Twilight Zone. On the phone with us right now on Reese on the Radio is the connoisseur of the Hollywood biz, the father of the famed actress Lindsay Lohan. Mr. Michael Lohan is on the show on Reese on the Radio. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
No, thanks for having me, Reese. It's going to be a lot of fun, I can tell already.
Oh, man, you have no idea how much fun we're going to have today. It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
President Obama promised us his health care law.
It is absolutely not a tax increase.
Now we know that's not true. Obama's health care law is actually one of the largest tax increases in history. Shouldn't Obama's priorities have been creating jobs and ending reckless spending? Instead, he focused on a $2 trillion health care takeover that we have to pay for. How can we afford this tax? We're already struggling. Tell Obama, repeal the health care law and pass patient-centered reform.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Reese on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Reese.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes, that's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just had to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and he's talking about
my arguments weak,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, what a hypocrite. Well, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that that guy who was going to base his whole decision on something you said, which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com. Reese on the Radio, we're back 40 minutes after the hour, 20 minutes till the end of the show, August 10, 2012. Okay, let's get into this, and I'm going to do this right. Finally, we're going to do a segment every 2 weeks, and I'm going to try to perfect this. I'm going to perfect it, and I'm going to get it right this time. I am going to get it right this time, because now I have the help of my producer. Don't forget, on the number one, on number five, don't forget to throw in the drum roll there, JC. All right? Don't forget to throw in the drum roll. Okay? So, second time's the charm. Second time's the charm. We're going to get into five questions.
Yeah.
Five questions for our good friend, Joe Soptic. Question number one. I understand you worked as a custodian. How much disinfectant will it take to wash away your filthy lies? Question number two. Is the reason you didn't accept a buyout for your job because the only payment you'd accept is an acting job in a political ad for nothing? Question number three. If Romney is responsible for your wife's death, is Obama responsible for the death of your credibility? Late there. Question number four. You appear in two different ads with the same shirt on. Does this mean your wife did the laundry? And question number five. Drum roll, please. Drum roll, please. Possibly a drum roll?
No, I didn't know we had a drum roll.
We have a drum roll. Could I get a drum roll, please?
I'm looking for this drum roll.
It should have been right there. Could I get... There we go. This goes on forever. And question number five. Now that you've dragged your wife from the grave, will she be a registered voter for Obama? And those are your five questions. There we go. Thank you. You too. I promise you we're going to get the kinks out. We are going to get the kinks out of this. Finally. Hopefully that'll work. Thank you, JC. I appreciate it. All right.
No, we'll get it right next time. I guarantee you, because right now I'm setting up my tablet.
Yeah.
With the studio.
Oh, okay. All right. Good. All right. We'll get it right. Okay. 9:44 is your time. 44 minutes after the hour. Spike Lee is in the news on Reset the Radio. Spike Lee is in Politico, and it says, Spike Lee, Barack Obama is not perfect. Spike Lee said President Barack Obama is not perfect, but that expectations for his first term were way too high. Quote, he was a savior, black Jesus. That's what he said. I cannot believe he said that. Look, I don't care who it was, expectations were too high. Lee accuses Republicans of gridlocking Congress to prevent Obama from winning a second term. Quote, a Congress that solidified as saying, what you do, we're going to block that. We're blocking, and every breath we take, we're going to do what we can that you don't get a second term. Bottom line, if it hurts America in the process, tough business.
Bottom line, Spike Lee, is that your Barack Obama, your president, set those expectations himself.
Yeah, that's, again, that's the part I don't understand. Lee says...
And now we should say, oh, I'm sorry. Those, you know what, Barack, we understand. We were foolish. We knew when you set those expectations yourself, we knew you weren't going to live up to that. We knew we were going to have to vote you in for two terms. We knew that. We knew that you really didn't know what you were talking about because you said, if I don't do all of this in one term... In the first 3 years, this is going to be a one-term job.
Spike Lee never heard that. He never ever heard him say that. He wasn't paying attention to that. Spike Lee said he's raised more than $1 million at his Obama fundraiser back in January. Obama has been a fan of Lee. The president said that he and his wife Michelle saw Lee's breakthrough film Do the Right Thing on the couple's first date.
Really? Wow. That was the movie that you went to go see on your first date?
Well, that would explain a lot, to be honest.
Probably. But anyway, let's see. So they went to go see your movie on their first date. So what? If you hadn't donated $1 million to them, they wouldn't give a damn who your ass was.
Exactly. Where's John Singleton? Did they see Boys in the Hood on their second date? I mean, come on. Everybody saw that. I even saw that movie.
Poetic Justice on their 15th date.
I mean, what does that even matter?
Jackson, and we know where Tupac is.
What does that even matter? That's ridiculous. Anyway. Okay, and lastly. Okay, Usain Bolt. Jamaican. Everybody's excited about him. But Usain, you know, you said something that I cannot co-sign, my friend. And I'm a little stunned that you said it.
Oh.
I'm a little stunned. No, that's not the quote. The quote that he says that he declares that he's a legend, not so fast there, old boy.
I think he's got whatchamacallit fever.
What? What's that?
Oh, my God. He won his first ring this year.
Oh, yeah, it's about LeBron James.
He's got LeBron James.
No, he doesn't have LeBron James.
I'm a legend.
This is Usain's problem. Usain Bolt's problem right now is that he doesn't understand the definition of flavor of the month. Yes, you're fast. Yes, you got all the endorsements. You're feeling yourself right now. I get it. The whole nine yards. It's what he said after the fact about Carl Lewis.
I didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah. He said that
he
has.
He better not have said nothing bad about no Carl Lewis.
Oh, yes, he did.
The Americanos ain't having it, Ross Clark.
Yes, he did. He went after Carl Lewis. Now, I'm going to see if I can find a quote here, but I'll paraphrase what this moron said. He said that Carl Lewis, he has no respect for him. No one even knows who he is anymore. Carl Lewis? When people think about track and field, when people think about the 100 meter or the 200 meter, the person who's synonymous with that is Carl Lewis. Okay?
Maybe the people in Jamaica don't
know. Nah, man. Let me tell you something. Usain, there are more people who know who's starting Cool Runnings than they know who you are.
Exactly.
That's right. More people know that Dougie Doug was in Cool Runnings than they know who you are. Yes, I will tell you, Usain Bolt, more people know that Malik Yoba was in Cool Runnings before you. More people know who John Candy is, who played the coach in Cool Runnings, than they know who you are, man. Let me break it down to you. Malik Yoba, Dougie Doug, John Candy. They know who they are before they know who you are. Nobody know a man named Usain Bolt other than today. They're not going to know who you are tomorrow unless you come back and you break it again. And you have to come break it again. And you have to come break it again. But more people will be renting Cool Runnings before they be renting you running down the road, running fast and doing your Gatorade commercial. Cool Runnings. One for the rhythm. One for the rhyme. Come on, y'all. It's bobsled time. They know that more than they know Usain Bolt.
Carl Lewis was a damn legend while this kid was still trying to learn how to skip.
Don't be disrespecting Cool Runnings.
Listen, running down those raggedy-ass roads in Jamaica, tripping over oxtail bones and red stripe bottles.
The Jamaicans skint us up badly, dude. I mean, it is embarrassing, man.
Okay, listen, Jamaicans, it's not like Jamaicans haven't been known for track and field. It's not like they haven't been known. In fact,
they're afraid to fly and learning to run on water.
They're trying to run to America on water. The premise of Cool Runnings was, if you remember Leon, the lead character in the film, he was a track runner, right? Three major characters in that movie were track runners, right? They got disqualified, and then John Candy could put them in the bobsled team. So the whole thing that we know is that Jamaica is known for their track running. There's no dispute here.
And cheating.
It's new. But
dude, they are embarrassing us, man. I'm almost embarrassed to be black American, man.
That Cool Running is not more popular than Usain Bolt.
McCann says so.
Come on, man.
Shoot, man. Dude, it's embarrassing, man. I'm serious. They're killing us, man.
No. My point is, Cool Runnings, Usain Bolt, who's more popular?
Cool Runnings.
Usain Bolt, man. What you talking about, man?
You can tell me that Usain Bolt is more popular than Cool Runnings?
Nobody's going to remember his guy in September.
Man, I think so.
You have a whole young generation of kids right now, man, that don't know about Cool Running, bro. But they know about Usain Bolt.
Are you going to say that all of a sudden the past has been erased? And you're going to tell me that Usain Bolt is more popular than Carl Lewis, Derek?
Ask anybody 18 and under about Cool Running, man.
That is not a huge generation, my friend. You're going to sit up here and I know 18. Carl Lewis? You gonna sit up here and tell me that Carl Lewis is less popular than Usain Bolt?
Yes.
You've got to be out your mind, Derek.
Yes.
Derek, who do you? Oh wait. Okay, I'll give you a perfect example. Okay, fine. Watch this. I'm gonna put you.
We're old school now, man.
Wait. I'm gonna put you to the test, Derek. Who did Usain Bolt beat for the gold? Who got silver in the last two races he ran?
What's that guy? Oh, man.
You couldn't name him, but check this out. Carl Lewis' second gold, his last gold ever. Who got disqualified for that gold medal? And if you don't know his name, what country was he from?
He was from Jamaica.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't from Jamaica.
Where was he from?
Canada, wasn't it?
Yeah, look at that. He remembered Canada. Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
That's right. Ben Johnson, my friend. So you remember that race, don't you? Okay?
The gold shoes.
Hey, man, we're old school now, man.
Do you understand that, man?
We're old school, man.
Nobody knows who Usain Bolt is versus Carl Lewis, my man. It's almost like saying, is Carl Lewis more popular than Jesse Owens?
Ask them three white girls, they showed up chilling out in Usain Bolt hotel room the other night, man. Who's the man?
I'm That's fine.
But I'm sorry, white girls are irrelevant.
I understand he's living off stage celebrity.
And I bet you they picked up the tab. You don't make no money in running.
Yeah, I mean, you got
to... What? He's his endorsement. They said he's going to be quick. He's going to make 40 million.
No, he's going to. He don't have it yet.
Well, he could make. He stands to gross $40 million,
man.
And guess where he's going to end up?
And if you
living in England.
Kind of crooked anywhere you go.
Yeah, yeah. He's going to end up living in America.
Man, he's going to end up living in England, man. Them chicks in the U.K. love that dude, man. Like I said, he had three bad English bars in his hotel room the other night.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure he is going to go up there. He's going to have a grand old time. But don't be sitting up there talking about Usain Bolt. Look, he is a phenomenon to be reckoned with. There's no denying that. But he is no Carl Lewis. And to prove that he's no Carl Lewis, have you ever heard Carl Lewis to do what this guy is doing, talking about discrediting a former Olympian?
Dude, Usain Bolt's record should be better. He turns back half the race, man, to laugh at his competition, man. You know what I'm saying? That dude is unbelievable, man. You know?
How tall is Usain Bolt?
What? God, about 6'7"? Something like that. Right.
What's his stride on his run? How far is his stride?
I don't know. It's insane, man.
8 feet on his... He has an 8-foot stride, okay? Usain Bolt, the fact that he can run, that's I'll give it to him. That's a given. But he's taller than most sprinters, and he's got an 8-foot span on his run. You're giving that guy way too much credit. Way too much credit. There are guys who are in the racing field who are 5'9", 5'10". He's got a longer stride than them, and that's why he's beating them. Now, I'm going to give him credit. Look, he's breaking those records. But you're going to sit up here and tell me that he's better than Michael Johnson?
Yes.
Really? You think he's more popular than Michael Johnson?
Dude, man, the dude's a phenomenon right now, man.
Michael Johnson hasn't been in the game for eons. All he says is a guy who's wearing kangaroo metal legs has got an unfair advantage and says that sprinters have an advantage because they come from slaves. they come from slaves from the slave trade, and he got immediate ESPN attention. Michael Johnson, man? You're going to tell me he's more popular than Michael Johnson? And Michael Johnson will never, ever discredit Carl Lewis. Usain Bolt is today's flavor. I'll give you that. He may be popular amongst those who watch the Olympics now, people who are very fickle and very, very short-minded. But there's no way that he is better than or more popular than Carl Lewis.
He hasn't made a staple in history.
Yeah, he hasn't made a staple in history.
To that point. But he's not to where they were. He hasn't accomplished what they did.
Yeah, the definition of a phenomenon.
So that's why I said that whole LeBron James thing. He's got that LeBron James fever. Because LeBron James wants to wear Michael Jordan's number. You ain't Michael Jordan. You ain't even have a ring until just this year. You ain't no king. You just a lieutenant.
Remember, Michael Jordan didn't get his first ring until he was 28, too, man.
It don't matter. LeBron James has been kicking it like he was the king. I'm King James.
What it take, Michael?
You ain't no lieutenant. You ain't no colonel. You ain't got no colonel status. You just got a ring this year. Now you can be a first-ring colonel.
But Michael Jordan's high school games weren't on pay-per-view either, okay? But LeBron James is so phenomenon, dude.
But again, that's because of the flavor of the month appeal.
But you can't come into the game talking about, I want to wear Michael Jordan's number. Come on.
Hey, you know what? He's bigger and stronger than Jordan, man. I mean, he's...
Well, no, he's right about that. He is bigger and stronger than Jordan. But he's not... But he's not Jordan. But he's not Jordan. Hold on. Who is the player they always compare LeBron James to? Who's the only player they compare him to?
Barkley?
Jordan. Who's the guy?
I don't know.
Oscar Robinson.
Oh, yeah, probably.
That's the closest comparison. Right. And that's because of triple doubles. Truth?
Yeah.
Truth? Okay. So he's not Jordan yet. Remember the last guy?
I can't give it time.
Remember the last guy they said was close to Jordan, and that was Kobe Bryant. And what was Kobe Bryant's problem? He won 3 in a row with Shaquille O'Neal, took him several years for ever winning again. Even, hold on, to make it even scarier, Shaquille went to Miami and got a ring before Kobe could repeat or ever win again. And he has not done it. So until you do three, retire, and then come back and do three again, you'll never be Jordan.
Man, you know, the reason Jordan retired because they weren't paying him right.
Oh, yeah, I'm not disputing that. But the man was so good, he came back and did it again. Another three times. That's the reason why there's a statue outside.
You ever sit there and think, what if they gave Ewing the amount of quality players that Jordan had wrapped around him? They never gave Ewing no real help. They always gave him help on a budget. That's why the Knicks ain't going to win. They were supposed to pay Jeremy Lin that money. They didn't want to pay him no money, man. There's a ton of money to make with that damn boy, man. Knicks always do it on a budget. That's why they ain't never going to win.
I will admit, Derek, the biggest problem with New York is that guy Dolan. I hate that guy. I could never ever deal with James Dolan and the money that he spends and how he spends it in New York. It's the reason why we haven't been dominant. But you make sense. Anyway, that's our show for this week, folks. We will see you Monday. Or will we? Monday? All right, we'll see you Monday. I'll be in court on Tuesday. I will see you then. No, there's been no word. I'm sorry. I got no answers for you. But have a great weekend. It's Reese on the Radio.